The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So, today I'm going to talk about applying the Dharma, the teaching of Buddhism, the medicine for all suffering. The Dharma is the medicine for suffering. And some of us have been practicing the Dharma for a long time, and some of us are quite new. And it can help everybody. They say, salt is suitable for all food, meaning the Dharma, the Buddha's teaching, is suitable for everything. All the conditions of our lives, all our situations, all our circumstances, all our problems, all our seeming obstacles, the Buddha Dharma can help with everything. The Buddha is often called the great physician, the great doctor, because his medicine is for us. And different kinds of medicine for different ones of us. If we are an angry person, compassion is our medicine. If we're a fearful person, stillness and fearlessness is our medicine. Different kinds of things for different people, but the Dharma is the basic thing that can help all of us in whatever situation we may find ourselves. We can all make use of it. And it's up to us to take the medicine. The Buddha says, you know, it's fine to give medicine to the patient, but if you won't take it, it's not much use. You just takes it, reads the label, then puts it away somewhere. It's not going to do him a lot of good. We need to take the medicine. We need to apply the Dharma. We need to put it into practice and thereby make use of it. Then it can really help us to apply it to our own lives, our own circumstances. We don't have to do something special. We just have to take the Buddha's teaching and apply it to our own daily mundane circumstances. And some of us here for the first time think, well, will this help me? Will it work for me? Again, the Buddha says, come and see. You've come to see, but now to practice it and see if it helps you. Is it the medicine for your suffering? I think so. And as we keep training, you know, first we think, well, try it out, see what happens, do a little meditation, can't hurt. And then as we practice the Dharma more and more, it becomes more and more, a part of our life. More and more we see how it applies to our own situations. We practice meditation, then we try to apply it to all our situations. When we're at work, when we're with our friends, with our families, we try to put that stillness into practice and let it help us. And as we keep training, more and more it pervades our lives. The flavor of the Dharma, like salt, just pervading our life. And in an almost invisible way sometimes. Sometimes it dramatically helps us. We're in this deep hole and we hear the Buddha's teaching and it really helps us out, really helps us to turn our things around. Sometimes it's just a very subtle, gradually brightening of our life. And however it works for us, it can really help us. And those of us who've been training for a while know this, and we don't take it for granted. Sometimes you want to wait. You say, okay, I'd like to start meditating, but I live in this awful situation, you know. My kids are noisy. Or I'll wait till I move to a more quiet place, have a more quiet job, it isn't intense. Wait for things to get better, till I feel better, you know. It's never going to be perfect. We might as well do it. I know a lady whose life is kind of chaotic. She has these kids all over the house. So she goes out and meditates in her car. And I thought, good for you. I wouldn't have thought of that. She really wanted to do it. So she found a way. And she's still doing it. It's a really, you know, it's not perfect, but it's a whole lot better than not doing it. Just to apply the Dharma in a difficult situation, you can make it work. In some way you may not think of, And then you think, well, how can I make it work for me? You can do it. Don't wait. There's a lovely phrase from, I think it's the scripture of Brahma's net. Sentient beings whose minds are intent on the way, the Buddhist way, do not see conditions as separate from the way. Not seeing our circumstances of our life as obstacles, as something we have to kind of get rid of or change or have different before we can actually do something. These situations we're in are the very ground of our practice. Sometimes they seem like huge difficulties, and actually they can be exactly what we need. The very ground for practicing the Dharma. We don't have to wait till we feel better or we have a nice quiet place to live or everything's fine, because we'll die of old age before that happens. There's always going to be something. It'll never be perfect, but these very things that seem like difficulties can really help us. People who are ill, you know, very often they find that just working with sickness or chronic illness or chronic pain is not an obstacle to practice. It actually can really help them, because they don't take things for granted. Somebody loses their house in a fire or a flood or something, and they may have moments when they feel deeply sorry about it, but they start to be grateful for what they do have. At least I've got my family, at least we're safe. I may have lost all the photographs, but I've got the human beings, you know. To see what we do have, to see what we can make use of, to see the positivity in our lives, and not to see things as just difficulties or obstacles. And this requires faith, just trusting that we can do it. Our minds are intent on the way. If we really want to put the teaching into practice, we really want to do something about our suffering, to turn it around, to follow the way of the Buddha, we can do it. And this means looking at our real purpose. What is my real purpose in life? Is it to be happy, you know, to be successful, to raise my family, have them all happy? That's fine. Is that my whole purpose? Is that what my life is for? Or is there something deeper? And when we find something deeper, to keep pointing towards that, like the North Star, we keep coming back to it. What's the purpose of my life? What am I doing here? What am I doing with my time? What am I doing right now? Am I practicing mindfulness? Am I trying to keep to the precepts? Am I doing my best? Or am I getting distracted, wasting time? What am I doing? Just to wake up, you know, what am I doing? Where am I going? What's my life about? No matter how long we've been training, whether we're monks or lay people, it's helpful to do this, to say, what am I doing? Where am I going? And am I on the right path? Am I keeping to the precepts? Am I practicing my meditation? Am I making my best effort? Am I doing my best to be a good person, which is what it boils down to? We're doing our best to be good people. However we want to look at it, that's what it comes down to be good people, to do more good than harm, not to create suffering, but to stop doing that, to help with suffering, to help ourselves, to help other beings, to learn and practice wisdom. And to keep coming back to that, is this what I'm doing, or am I getting sidetracked somewhere? And the conditions of our life that we find ourselves in can be the very thing to help us with that, not something that we get out of the way or change so we can then practice. The Dharma, the medicine for all suffering. Why am I suffering? Is it because of my conditions, because of the circumstances of my life? Or is it because of the way I respond to these conditions? Is it the outward circumstances, or is it the way I see them? You know. Again, illness and pain. We can be driven by illness or by pain, and anyone who's had heavy-duty pain knows it's very compelling, and you just want it gone. And yet, There's a way of working with it and not letting it just drive us, but to actually use it to help us to practice stillness and acceptance and kindness. Because when you've had a lot of pain in your life, you know what it's like. And somebody else who feels pain, whether it's a spiritual pain, physical pain, mental pain, whatever, you know what it's like, and you can be sympathetic and kind. You can learn from our own pain and suffering to be kind to others and practice compassion and help them, rather than just locked into our own suffering and bitterness. We can actually use it to help us. To help us to see what's really important, you know, to stop and look. What's really important in my life? I don't have time to waste a lot of time doing other things. What's important? Let's concentrate on that. When you have serious illness, old age, sickness, pain, it comes to that. You start to think, what's really important here? It's a benefit in a way. It's not just an obstacle. We don't have to pretend to like conditions when they're really hard, when we're really suffering. We don't have to say, everything's fine, I'm having a lovely time, I lost my house, I've got, you know, lost my job, my children are all sick, but everything's fine. We can we can accept things. We don't have to be pretend everything is perfectly fine, but we can work with them and we can keep a bright heart and use our difficulties to help us to appreciate what we do have, to find strength to accept what is hard, and to just keep going, to keep practicing faith, to keep coming back to stillness, to courage, and not just getting swept away by the events of our lives, whether they're large disasters that happen in our life, or just small details, a constant flood of events, busyness, detail, answering the phone, dealing with our work, all the things that happen to us, to try not to get swept away by all that, but to just keep coming back. What am I doing? Where am I going? What am I doing with my mind? Why am I suffering? For instance, why am I angry? Is it because someone's done something to make me angry? Or is it my mind? Is it my response? Is it the way I look at them, because I don't really like that person, or I'm irritable? You know, when we get up in the morning, we just feel crabby about everything. It's not because anyone's done something, it's us. Other times, the exact same situation might be there, and it's fine, we're not upset at all, because it's our own mind. That's what it comes down to. It's our mind. It's not the circumstances. The hook. If I have this sort of roving mind that's looking for something to get irritated about, I can almost certainly find something to hook my irritation onto, or to hook fear and worry onto. If we're a habitual worrier, we'll always find something to worry about. There's always going to be something we can worry about. And then if we can't find anything, we worry about that, thinking, I'm missing something. It sounds silly, but it's true. I'm missing something. I should be worrying, and I'm not. There's something going on. I don't know what it is, so I can worry about that. There's always going to be something that we can be upset about, worried about, afraid about, or whatever it might be. It's our own mind. The hook is just the outward circumstances. Conditions are not separate from the way. Conditions, our circumstances, the things of our life, are the very way itself. And we can use these moments when we're starting to get angry, upset, worried, afraid, to turn it around, to look and say, what am I doing? Ah, I'm beginning to get irritated. Just be still. It's okay. Let it go. It may be it's not such a big deal, you know. You may know what it's like, we start getting all annoyed and we don't even realize it, and then suddenly we're crabbing to ourselves and we think, wait a minute, that's not a big deal. I don't have to get upset about this little thing. It's fine. Maybe it doesn't have to be done my way. You know? Radical. and to see what our mind is doing. It's our self wanting things my way, wanting to get something or to feel safe, to have things not worry us or just the way we want them. There's a self at the bottom of it, wanting things our way. And when you can just see that and relinquish our grip a little bit, maybe it doesn't have to be my way. Maybe I can just let it go, accept something else. Let somebody else's idea, you know, flourish. It doesn't have to be me. It's really a relief, an enormous relief, not to have to have things our way. And that depends on mindfulness, to see what's happening in our mind. Here I am, getting irritated, wanting something, not wanting something, afraid of something, whatever it is. When we see it starting in the mind, to observe that and say, oh, I don't have to do that. I don't have to go down that road. I can just relinquish the grip. And then it's a lot easier to let it go. When we see what we're actually doing with our mind, it's easier to relinquish that grasp. Because it's our mind that we need to work on. It's not fixing our circumstances. It's not getting everything out there right. It's dealing with our own mind. To sit still and look with kindness and compassion at what we do. To see where we look for something to get upset about, or look for something to worry about, or grab on to some desire, and how we torment ourselves with it, get unhappy because we don't get what we want. To see ourselves do that, and it may not immediately disappear, usually it doesn't, we just have to keep working with it. But when you see it, when we see our inclinations and the way our mind works, to see it with kindness and compassion, because we're all like this. Not to get angry about our anger or despairing about our despair. Oh God, despair again. I can't believe it's coming back. You know? Or afraid of our fear. Not to compound it, but just to see it and to begin to relinquish the grip. To be patient, because this takes time, but to see. These very conditions, our outer conditions and our inner conditions, our own difficulties, are the very things that help us. If we didn't have greed, hate, and delusion, there wouldn't be work for us to do. And these very things are the kind of the mud of our training, the things that help us to work on ourselves, to practice kindness, to realize truth. Acceptance. Accepting our conditions, accepting our situation, our less than perfect body and mind, our less than perfect job, house, family, everything. And working with those things, just allowing acceptance to soften our view. But particularly accepting ourselves, accepting our own shortcomings, our mistakes, our failures, the things we've done in the past, all of these things, to just accept them. Okay, I did that. I'm really sorry. Maybe there's something I can do. Maybe there's not. But I can train myself so I don't do it again. I can work with my weaknesses and shortcomings so I stop creating suffering for myself and other people. Just kindly, patiently, acceptance. And sometimes we have huge loss, grief, disaster, pain, deep fear, insecurity. And these things don't just magically disappear, but the training really, really helps to see them, to accept them. Okay, this has happened in my life. Now what do I do? And usually the best thing is just simply to accept the situation as it is and do our best with it. We don't necessarily have to make huge changes. The changes come to us quite naturally. Sometimes we do. We need to make some big change in our life. But very often, it's just accepting what we have, making the best of it, making the most of it, and using that very situation to help us. Sometimes things are really uncomfortable and we want a resolution, we want to fix them right now because we don't like it. And sometimes all we can do is be patient in that very difficult, uncomfortable situation. We can't just make it go away magically. Just to sit with it in the discomfort or unease and just let it be there. Just see what we do with it and just allow it to come and to go, to arise and pass away. Outflows. I like this expression, outflows. Outflows is looking outwards, looking to external circumstances to make us happy, to reward us, to give us security or what we think we need, to keep us safe. Wanting something different, basically, is what it is. Outflows is wanting something else, or wanting something, wanting fulfillment, or something like that, to come from the outside. Wanting somebody to keep us happy and safe, wanting some circumstance to keep us happy and safe. This doesn't work. There's no human being who can keep us happy and safe. We have to do it for ourselves. There is no circumstance that can keep us happy and safe. We have to do it from within. We cannot get our life so that everything is safe, everything is pinned down, everything is as it should be, we have everything we want. As soon as we have something we want something else, so we don't like it anyway. To work on the inside, that lack, that seeming lack, wanting something else, is something we need to turn within, to shine our light within, instead of flowing out to the externals. If only they would do this, if only my life was like that, if only I could, or for us, if only I was nicer, smarter, wiser, better, younger, prettier, all that. It's not going to work. To see where our true worth lies by shining the light within, turning within and sitting still within all conditions. Turning the radiance within, it's called sometimes. In the rules for meditation, it's a little line, withdraw within and reflect upon yourself. And another translation of that is, learn to withdraw, turning the light inwards, illuminating the self with a capital S, the true nature, illuminating Buddha nature, to turn the light within and illuminate Buddha nature. This is serene reflection meditation. Turning the light inwards, not looking outwards, not flowing out, but turning that radiance, our true radiance, which is just natural to us, turning it within and illuminating the true nature, which we all have, all beings have, it's within everything. To see that in ourself, to turn that radiance within. And this is how we keep our minds intent on the way, by doing our meditation practice, sitting still in the midst of all conditions, whether we're sitting in meditation or doing something, turning that radiance within, sitting still within, seeing what our mind is doing, not getting pulled off into fear and worry and anger and all that, to see it arise, keep letting it go, to keep turning the radiance within, stillness. And this is how we see our conditions, as not being separate from the way, because they are the very way itself. When we do this, when we keep turning the radiance within, instead of looking out for something else, that is how we keep our mind intent on the way, how we use those conditions to help us. All acceptance is the key that unlocks the gateless gate. And it comes down to this, it's all acceptance, accepting our circumstances, accepting our minds, accepting our maybe not really very great meditation practice, turning the radiance within. Sometimes we can only do it for a moment and then it's distraction. Don't worry, just come back, just do it as we can. Acceptance of our shortcomings, our weaknesses, our difficulties, and those very difficulties can become our strengths because we really work on them. We're a very distractible person. We really work on mindfulness. If we have a lot of anger, we really work on compassion. If we're selfish, we really work on generosity. And then they become our strengths because we're using them to help us. Nothing is wasted. We can use all of these things with acceptance and kindness. And whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we can do this. We have everything we need right here. We don't have to go somewhere else. Sometimes we have to go somewhere else to find we have it right here. But in our very life, we have what we need, the very things that we need. Very mundane seeming. You don't have to do something dramatic and extreme. Just within this ordinary daily life that we have everything we need right in this very moment. It's every moment we have it. It's not somewhere else. It's not in some future time. It's not somebody else. It's right here within us, turning the radiance within. We can apply the Dharma to everything, to all our conditions, to our own weaknesses, to all the situations we find ourselves in. Nothing is outside the Buddha Dharma. There's nothing that can't be part of it. No matter how small, petty, miserable, seemingly unworthy our daily difficulties or our daily lives may seem, or the things we're dealing with, or how huge and seemingly insurmountable, we can apply the Dharma to everything. We can apply that acceptance, stillness, to everything. There is nothing outside it. Everything is part of it. From the deepest anguish to the slightest dis-ease, no matter what our conditions may be, not separate from the way, when our minds are intent on the way. That's what Reverend Master Jiyu taught us. She talked about sanctifying the mundane. The very, very mundane details of our lives are sacred when we put them to good use in this way, when we use them to help us to practice the Dharma. So we have great gratitude to our Reverend Master Jiyu, and gratitude is another thing that really helps us. So let us all put it into practice. Thank you.